Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to what is hopefully the end of your week. I'm just saying. Darren McFarlane, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging tight over in East Nashville while Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue. And Max Herz on the board today. He joined us earlier in the week, Anchor Down, host of Anchor Down podcast. He is on our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Well, Darren, we're a little sad because we lost a good friend, but it is a beautiful day, and we're looking forward to the weekend for sure. And there's plenty going on in our city, so we're going to get after it.
Well, you're right. Unfortunately, we do have to start on a somber note because both of us learned last night that a dear friend to somebody that we worked with for a long time, George Plaster, certainly no stranger in this market, Radio Broadcasting Hall of Famer, we found out that, unfortunately, we lost America's Guest. We lost Rick Regan. We both knew that he had suffered a massive stroke earlier in the week. He was on life support, and unfortunately, he died last night. And obviously, we go back a long ways with our history with George, and obviously being around Rick for a lot of functions. And look, Rick Regan goes back even further than before I even arrived here, because in what, 1996, I got here the last day of 97, but in 1996, you know, that strong push, as you know, to get an NFL franchise in this city, Rick Regan was a big part of that.
Yeah, I believe it was actually 95 stuff started. Yep. I think if I've got that right.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember the NFL yes signs in everybody's yard.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, you just illustrated it really well. Number one, Rick was just a great friend to a lot of people, and that's worth a lot right there. But I think you guys will agree with me that it's an even bigger thing for Rick Regan. I think he exemplifies so much of what it means to be, you know, just dedicated to others, to service, to community. You know, when I start thinking, you know, how did we get here as a sports city, right? Or for just me individually, how did I get here in this job? You know, being able to do what I love to do and talk sports in this city. Rick Regan is a huge part of the foundation. You know, you mentioned George, right? George and Rick, extremely close friends, mm-hmm. right? But I don't think George, who means so much to me as a, you know, for my career, I don't think George would be George without what Rick was doing behind the scenes. I don't think we would be, you just made one great reference to professional football, but you can cite so many examples where the events wouldn't be what they are today without Rick's boots on the ground mentality, enthusiasm. Hey, you need people? I'll get people. I'll be there. You can't say enough about his role in all of that. You know, so we lost a great person. You know, but I think you talk about, you know, what do you want to be remembered for? You know, what will you be remembered for? I think his legacy is going to live on for a long time because he set the tone for how we do things. How do we do things in our city? Well, we have enthusiasm. We rally people around. So you mentioned the NFL, yes, for people that maybe are newer to the city. You know, it seems like a no-brainer. Hey, do you want the Oilers to come to Nashville? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take you back to that time.
A lot of people didn't.
A lot of people didn't. I don't know why, but they didn't. So there was a referendum, and we had to vote as a city. So who was rallying? who was getting people registered to vote, who was creating awareness. Well, there were some city leaders that were doing it, but you had to have the boots on the ground. Rick was the guy that got it going. He was coming on our show. You know, I'm just a kid out of college. You know, I'm just getting started. I had no concept of, you know, how you go about this kind of thing. Rick was the guy that led it and got it done and made sure that the deal got struck. Doesn't happen without that. The rally to save the Predators. Boots on the ground. Rick Regan talking to people. Creating where Rick wasn't a huge hockey fan. He was a sports fan. He wanted to see sports succeed. He wanted to see our city look good. The marathon every year. Sports festivals. Jeff Fisher's celebrity softball game. You know, it doesn't matter what the event. Speaker series, right?
You definitely could not go to that without running into Rick.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I will guarantee you, if you've been to a game in Nashville, you've probably been to a game with Rick. You may not know Rick was there, but Rick was there. You may not know Rick. You may not know what he looked like. He was there. Yep. And so we will miss him terribly, but the overwhelming thought I have, guys, is, you know, he made his mark. And the way we go about things in Nashville, Rick is a big, big part of that. And they always will be. He's a part of the foundation of our sports community.
Well said. I mean, I don't know what more I could add to what you just put out there. I love the boots on the ground. That is a great reference when talking about Rick Regan. Now, for people out there, you know, there's been so many new people that have moved to our market in the last, you know, 5 years. And when they hear me say America's guest, they're like, what? There's a whole lot of people out there that don't understand that reference. And actually, I'll be full disclosure, I'm not even sure. I think that goes so far back. I'm not even sure I know the story behind that. I know George is behind that. But where did that reference come from? Because that's how George would always reference Rick Regan.
Well, what happened was, and this was the fun part, right, where we would have fun on the air because, you know, Rick was not a sportscaster. He had a regular everyday job. You know, and that's the beauty of it. All of these things that he did were purely as a volunteer.
Yep.
Right? 99.9% of everything he did to push the movement forward of sports. And it could have been anything. It could have been the marathon. It could have been the figure skating championships. You know, if something needed to be talked to Charles Davis Radiothons, right?
Yep.
If something needed to be talked about, he would just say, guys, I need to come on. I need to let people know about what we're doing here. So he was constantly coming on our show for one reason or another, right, in the prime, back when, you know, sports, when there wasn't podcasts, there wasn't, help me out, Darren, there wasn't satellite radio, there wasn't, mm-hmm. you know,
was
being able to throw your, you didn't plug in your
things.
Phone, you didn't plug in your phone to your car and start listening to music.
Yeah,
everybody's listening to the radio, right? So our show had, there weren't as many shows. You know, so we had impact, right? So Rick understood that, and he said, guys, I need to come on. George, can I come on for a few minutes? So it happened so often. So George just started referring to him as, well, we have America's guest. Because what was his title, right? It was,
right.
You know, volunteer Rick Regan. It wasn't like Rick Regan who writes for this or Rick Regan who covers that. It was Rick Regan Nashvillian, you know, citizen of Nashville that – wants to talk and let people know what's our next thing as our city. What do we need to know about? And it could have been anything, right? So he was America's guest.
When we would do those radiothons, Chase, and a lot of them, or some of them we did at Ferguson, which, you know, George.
I've been there before.
By the time the day is over, it's such a long day. George is doing, you know, he's got a microphone in his hand sitting in a bathtub. But Rick Regan would just be furious, and Willie knows this better than him, that George, he would be on him constantly. What's the number, George? George, give out the number. He would just stay on him to give out the number. George, they don't know the number to call to donate. Give out the number.
He
would stay after George to give out that number. Nick was, you know, I think Nick wanted to do it just to, you know, gig George, but like Rick was
right.
Serious, like give out the digits, man, so people can call and donate.
Well, it became a really fun dynamic. Of course, we lost Nick years ago too.
Yep.
And it's just part of the fabric of how do we get here, right? But You're right. Rick was another name that George finally called him, was Sergeant Carter, right? Because Sergeant Carter would have to jump in. George, you haven't given the phone number in the last 2 or 3 minutes. How are they going to call if you can't, if you don't give the phone number out? It was a great back and forth, because he had some amazing drives. So our thoughts go out to his wife, Suzanne, wonderful person. I know his brother, Kendall, is out there as well listening, another guy that has great enthusiasm and love for our city. Just, we want to pass along our deepest sympathies, thoughts to the Regent family. And, of course, everybody. Rick knows everybody, right? So our sports community, when we're saying this, there are a lot of people that know about Rick, right? I think at the Nashville Sports Council and
I got
so many
to know him at the
there.
First Sports Fest that we did.
Yeah, Music City Bowls. I mean, you just go, the Sports Festival, all of those things, right? So, I mean, let's...
In fact, my first interaction with Rick was I walk into the Music City Center, because if you guys remember, and our listeners remember, the first event at the Music City Center...
He was standing right there at the front entrance.
He was standing right there, and I walked in with Jeremy Benefield, and George was running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Trying to get ready for this event. I walk in and Jeremy introduces me, and he even said, "This is America's guest, Rick Regent." I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know all about you." And he goes, "Nice to meet you. All right, this is what I need you to do." And he put me to work.
Yeah, yeah. No small talk with those events. It's like, get to work.
Yep. Yeah. So really hate to hear that news. I texted with George a little bit this morning about him. So thoughts and prayers with his family, and a great Nashvillean gone too soon.
Our city and our sports community definitely mourns the death of Rick Regent, but he will certainly be in our thoughts. Their family, obviously, as they go through this tough time. But, man, he left an impression. It was impossible not to have any encounter with Rick Regent and not leave an impression on you. So many memories throughout the years. And I'm thinking about and George, too, because George was so close. They lived four doors down, not three doors. That's so bad. It's too bad it wasn't three doors down. That would have been the greatest reference ever to know that Rick Regent lived three doors down from George. But it was four doors down. But they were very, very close. And I really don't have much more to say. Well, you put it out there. Great. I mean, that you described Rick Regent to a T, and he'll be missed.
I just got a text from what about the Nashville Athletic Club? That's a great reference to those that can go way back, and this is when I first started, 1993 was my first year out of college working. Back then, there was the Nashville Athletic Club and the Sports Council, and a few years later, they merged together because the Nashville Athletic Club was basically a speaker series, a get-together, and as you know, the speaker series still goes on today as part of the Nashville Sports Council. So, I mean, Rick goes back. It's the foundation of our city's growth as a sports town.
Yep. All right, we will come back and bring in Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com and get you ready for the big tilt Sunday at Nissan Stadium. This is a huge game for the Titans. It really, to me, I'm very interested to see how the Titans-Bears game, and we referenced this a lot yesterday, the UT-Arkansas game, because I really think it is going to dictate how Monday show goes, right? Depending on how these games play out. I mean, they are going to be a big part of they're going to be Monday show for the most part. And I'll be curious to see what direction we're going with both of those games. And so we'll talk to Terry on the other side. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. I plan on finding out how smooth it is this weekend. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. In just a moment, we'll have Terry McCormick, who will join us as we get ready for the Titans and the Bears. Okay, Terry is there from TitanInsider.com.
Is that why we're playing
line.
New York, New York, I assume?
That was good.
Probably so, yeah.
A little Frank Sinatra on a Friday. Let's go.
Good job. Okay. Terry's on their phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Terry, what... currently today, what's your gut feeling on whether Adoree Jackson will be out on the field playing on Sunday?
It's very hit or miss. They're going to have to activate him one way or the other, or else put him on injured reserve for the season. He wasn't out there yesterday. He was out there on Wednesday. He was not out there on Friday. So I'd say it's very hit or miss. My guess is they probably put him on the 53-man roster and then make him a game-time decision for Sunday.
What? I mean, we're in November. What is the injury? I mean, he has yet to see the field this season. What is going on? What do we know about what he suffered?
He suffered a knee injury the first week before the first game of the regular season. And in that injury, I was told that it was about a 4 to 6 week injury. And so we are now past that time.
Right.
And so it should be that he should be on track to returning and coming back and being able to play. You know, you would think that with a knee injury, it's probably either like a sprained
MCL
or meniscus tear or something like that would be my guess. You know, they haven't really let us, you know, see a lot of practice these days. We don't get to go into the locker room anymore, you know, because of all the COVID protocols. So everything is cloaked in secrecy. It's, you know, getting sort of like our election process. Everything cloaked in secrecy these days. And so I think it's a situation where Adoree Jackson is probably going to be day-to-day. I think he, you know, I don't think they're going to shut him down for the season, because I think if he was out for the season, obviously they would have already done that.
Right.
But I do think that he's probably going to be a 50-50 shot I think he's going to be activated. It's probably going to be a 50-50 shot as to whether he's on the field Sunday.
I feel like this show is equipped to play knee doctor on the radio, so I feel pretty good about your diagnosis. But so they have never officially said what it was? Because I agree with you. Meniscus, sprained MCL, that's probably what I was thinking, the same thing, but they've never officially said what type of knee injury?
No, and they won't if they don't have to. I think what it is, you know, if it were an ACL, you know he'd be gone for the season. He'd be in a situation like Taylor Lewan. If it was a patella tendon or something like that,
gone.
You know he would be gone for the season. And with the knee, generally, there's only a handful of things that it can be. So it either has to be an MCL sprain, an LCL sprain, or a meniscus.
Cutting Bo Brinkley, certainly, I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody because of the last couple of weeks in particular, for whatever reason. By the way, did we just learn from these press conferences that long snappers get the yips? Did we learn that? Is that kind of reading between the lines? Did
Apparently
Bo come back from COVID with the yips?
Well,
snapping
Bo
yips?
From what I was told, Bo came back from the COVID and didn't have the same strength that he previously had before he went on it.
Okay.
And I think that probably caused him to overcompensate, which you saw some high snaps from him on a couple of balls this year. And then I think maybe he undercompensated. You saw him roll that one back against the Bengals last week that ended up in a double disaster, because it not only got Bo Brinkley cut, it got Brett Kern hurt. So I think when you're talking about, you know, long snappers getting the yips, yeah, I think you've hit on it right there. And I think Bo Brinkley, I think the COVID probably contributed to that. You know, the surprising part of that to me is, you know, they went out and they signed another long snapper off the Dolphins practice squad, a guy named Orzik, I think it is. Matt Orzik, I believe, or I can't remember the first name. Orzik.
They signed
him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had Matt Overton, formerly of the Colts, formerly of the Jaguars, a guy who's been around the league for a long, long time, on the practice squad. Orzik is not going to make it through the protocols in time to be able to snap on Sunday against the Bears. So it's going to be Overton that's going to be getting the job done. To my way of thinking on that, you know, if you felt like Bo Brinkley had a chance to get himself straightened out at some point this year, why wouldn't you have put him on injured reserve, or why wouldn't you have deactivated him for 2 or 3 weeks to see if he could get the problem figured out? Because I think you guys would agree with me, for the previous 8.5 years, Bo Brinkley's been as solid and consistent as they come at his position.
Why do you think that they were, and I agree with you, we've talked about that this week on the show, why do you think that they were willing to, that was it. They were willing to part ways with him. But a guy like Steven Kaskowski, who is the worst kicker statistically in the league, you know, keeps, they keep trotting him back out there every week. Why don't you think it's cost him his job?
It's a good question. I mean, it's a fair question. You know, one that John Robinson sort of answered in his meeting with the media. I guess it was on Tuesday or Wednesday. And when he was asked about Bo, he just said that he felt like that it was something that wasn't going to be fixed this year, that it was something that, you know, wasn't going to be able to be fixed. I don't know that I agree with that, but that's what he said. With Gostkowski, I think the problem is that even as bad as he's been, you know, the only other option that they would have had other than working out, they did bring a couple of guys in for visit, is Tucker McCann, who's never kicked in an NFL game, you know, because there was no preseason this year. He's a rookie out of Missouri. And I think when you look at that and you look at what's out there, what's available, I think they felt better trying to get Gostkowski fixed and trying to get him corrected rather than going through the carousel of kickers that they brought in here last year, and none of them were the answer. And, you know, and I think when you look at that too, at least, you know, they had to look short-term in a way, but when you look long-term, it's obvious that Ryan Succop was injured because he's back and performing at a high level for the Bucs this year. And Cairo Santo, who was awful while he was here, is going to be back at Nissan Stadium on Sunday kicking for the Bears, and he's having a pretty solid season.
Yeah. Is it your gut that Brett Kern will be out there on Sunday?
My gut is that Brett Kern will not be out there on Sunday.
Will not be out there on Sunday. And so that leaves a gaping hole at that position. How do you begin to try to fill that?
Well, they got punters in for auditions. They've got Dustin Colquitt, Lachlan Edwards, Trevor Daniel, and Ryan Allen. All here in Nashville going through the COVID protocols. They're supposed to see those guys kick tomorrow once they're allowed inside the building to audition. And based off of who does the best tomorrow, they will sign one of them to the active roster. How crazy is that?
Wow. This special teams information brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Terry McCormick, Titan Insider. Smoother than smooth. Terry McCormick on the line, TitanInsider.com. Willie?
Well, I'll tell you, the special team coach might need some Blue Note with all these things that they're dealing with here. Terry, you know,
we all
so
do.
So let's look at the transaction part of it, right? Because that was the first thing I thought of, and you pointed out the key thing is they've been going through the protocol, so that's why they could sign a guy basically last minute, put him in there. So the next level would be, would Kern be out for just a game, or do you think it's an IR thing where they would have to put him on a three-week IR and whoever they sign has got the gig for a couple games?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think we really know that for sure. I think we'll find out a lot more about that regarding who moves up or off the roster once they sign a punter. If they sign this guy and they need a roster spot for him, then they could always put Kern on IR. If not, And I think that from the releases that they did on Tuesday with Brinkley and Beasley and Jonathan Joseph, they actually have some spots open right now. So if they feel like Brett Kern is only going to miss a game or two, then you just deactivate him, you roll with this guy for a week or two in his place, whoever that might be, and then you go back to Brett Kern. Because I think, you know, whoever gets this punting job, it's going to be a temporary gig because you want Brett Kern out there.
Of course.
He's one of the best in the business.
No question. So who holds? Did we cover that part of it? I can't even remember. We've talked so many special teams.
Well, that's another thing. Normally the Titans like for their punter to do the holding, but that's not going to be the case because you can't bring a guy in on a Saturday and say, here, hold for our
field. You're the holder. Yeah.
Who already is hitting at about a 50% clip. Let's, and oh, by the way, here's a new long snapper to work with too. So
we got a whole new battery for you.
Exactly. I don't think that's going to work. My guess is that it will be Logan Woodside or Ryan Tannehill. That's the two that Mike Vrabel and special teams coach Craig Aukerman actually gave up yesterday in talking with him. He said that they were two of the candidates. I can't imagine that there would be anybody else that's a candidate right now. with Brett Kern out of the mix. So, and the truth of the matter is, do you really want starting quarterback out there doing the holding? I'd rather have him over there on the sideline getting a breather. If Logan Woodside can handle it, that's who I'd go with.
So, Terry, let's look at another aspect. And this is an interesting one because I think we could probably debate it for a while. But we were looking earlier this week. The Titans are, I think, 28th in the league in time of possession. And as we know, it's got nothing to do, very little to do anyway, with the Titans' offense. They're an excellent offense. They even have a tremendous running game, which you would think would put them in the top of that category. But they're so low because their defense can't get off the field. Do you think that is a valuable stat, a significant stat that you, because if we look at the team's records that are in the low 20s and 30s, they're all horrible teams. So do you think that's an emphasis at all inside their locker room, something they'd like to fix?
I think so. I think that it's not a major concern, but I think it is one. And I'll give you another reason, Willie, why I think that the Titans' time of possession is lower than what we're accustomed to seeing. We've been accustomed to seeing this team grind it out and, you know, hand the ball off and go, you know, 13 plays, 83 yards, and chew 6 minutes off the clock, right? It's been that way for 20 years here,
sure,
for the most part. But now that you've got a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill who can put the ball on the money, give guys run after catch opportunities, you've got not only Derrick Henry, who's a threat to go the distance every time he gets past the first level, but you've got A.J. Brown, you've got Jonnu Smith who can run a little bit, you've got Khalif Raymond who can get deep. You've got options to make big plays like the Titans have never had. So rather than having 13 play drives that chew 6 minutes off the clock, you're seeing a lot more 5 and 6 play drives that only chew about 2 or 3 minutes off the clock with this explosiveness. You combine that with the terrible defense that they've had on third down, and I think that's why the time of possession is skewed a little bit.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, joining us here on Darren Donovan Chase at TerryMC13 on Twitter. We know the pass rush has obviously been a huge bugaboo for the Tennessee Titans. They move on from Vic Beasley. For whatever reason, that did not work out. I know his effort was brought up in a couple of press conferences this week, but with Jadeveon Clowney, I feel like the effort is there. He's just not connecting for whatever reason. There's something that he has just been off by a half a step or a full step or however you want to put it this entire season. With the secondary possibly being fixed up, that's going to help some things. But what do you believe the answer to getting Clowney to the quarterback is going to be, or really getting anybody to the quarterback?
Well, I think having a secondary that can cover somebody for a little longer is certainly the best remedy that they can come up with, because, as you guys know, good pass rushers don't just get turned out on the street. You don't find them walking around. So they're kind of got to play the hand that's dealt them there, and they got to hope that Jadeveon Clowney benefits a little bit from that. They also got to hope that Harold Landry benefits a little bit from that. And then beyond those two, you know, is it Derek Roberson? Is it Tuzar Skipper? You know, you've got guys who don't have a whole lot of track record of anything, whether it's, you know, success or, you know, even playing time. So, you know, it's a situation where I don't know how much this is going to be fixed this year. I think that by trying to shore up the secondary and getting a little more speed out there with Desmond King and then at some point Adoree Jackson, I think you probably are giving yourself the best chance you have to try and fix this situation. But I don't think Jadeveon Clowney is all of a sudden going to turn into 1999 Javon Curse and start ringing up 2 and 3 sacks a week.
How much of all of that, plus the third down defense, just the different things that have troubled these guys, how much do you think now it's just in between the ears and it's become a mental thing?
I think that's some of it. But I also think that, you know, if indeed that was some of it, I think that, you know, jettisoning two guys off the defense this week certainly sent a message that, hey, it's time to get your head out of your you-know-what and start playing football again and start doing things the right way. I think one of the things that has been talked about a little bit, but not a lot this year, you know, I think one of the things that the addition of fixing the secondary might help is with those well-timed blitzes that Dean Pease did last year.
Yeah.
Maybe you can blitz a Desmond King. Maybe you can blitz a Rashawn Evans or a Kenny Vaccaro because you feel better about what's on the back end to cover up the holes that are created from that blitz. And I think that's one of the reasons, too, why the pass rush has been so bad this year is because I don't think they trusted the back end in order to be able to scheme up some things and draw up something that might get to the quarterback by bringing an extra guy or two. I mean, and the other thing, too, is when you have problems on the defensive side of the ball, you remember a few years ago when it's been several years ago now where everybody was questioning why Keith Bullock was not having, you know, a Keith Bullock type of year. And finally, he admitted that he was trying to do too much. He was covering for other guys that weren't trustworthy on the defense. And I think there's some of that. I think there's some of that this year. I think the reason you're not seeing guys who we've become accustomed to seeing make big plays like Kevin Byard, like Rashawn Evans, I think the reason they're not making big plays is maybe because they're trying to do too much rather than just play what's called for them to play, and because they're not trusting what's going on around them and some of the guys that are back there.
Terry, leave us with this. We've talked a lot about leadership and replacing the guys that left from that standpoint and how important that's been. Now, you just named some players that I would put in that leadership category, Rashawn Evans, Kevin Byard. But in your opinion, who would be that one guy in the room that no matter what side of the ball they're on, like a Bruce Matthews, for instance, when they speak, you shut up and listen. Do you think that they truly have that guy right now?
Well, that's a good question. I think probably the closest they have to that guy is probably your quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. And I think that he's the guy that probably commands the greatest amount of attention. And I think the other guy would be Kevin Byard. And when you saw them go through all the day of skipping the practice and, you know, presenting this unified front in terms of social justice and that stuff that was going on during the preseason, who were the two guys they put out front to carry that message?
Byard and Tannehill.
It was Byard and it was Tannehill. And I think those are the two guys that probably carry the most weight from a leadership standpoint inside that Titans locker room.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, has covered the team for a very long time, since day one, actually, joining us here on the show. Hey, appreciate it as always, Terry. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Terry McCormick. Lots of Titans discussion coming up today as they take on the Bears this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. But first, Darren, give us a word about sports betting.
Sure, I'll do that. DraftKings, it's live, up and running, right here in our wonderful state of Tennessee. Yes, mobile sports betting is here. Hey, action tonight. Pac-12 gets started. Some good college football games tonight. You've got a whole slate of stuff this weekend. You may know DraftKings is the leading daily fantasy brand, but they've taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. This isn't an offshore operation like a lot of other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook right here in the U.S. And with DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. Just download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up for a limited time, all new users will get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Once again, that code 1025GAME and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's only at DraftKings Sportsbook app. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem or wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. We've got our NFL Game of the Week right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This week's game, Steelers and Cowboys. Broadcast will begin at 3 p.m., kickoff at 3:25. Roxy Bernstein, gosh, you're talking about going way back. Willie, we used to talk to Roxy Bernstein when he was the voice of the Cal Bears. A long, long, long time ago.
That's good stuff.
Ben Hartsock.
Ben Hartsock, former Titan.
Yes.
Wow.
Former tight end, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Roxy Bernstein.
Ohio State, I believe. Is that
right? Ben Hartsock on the call for ESPN Radio. So Steelers and Cowboys.
Nice.
Chris Sanders took the Cowboys and silly underdog picks, plus 14. Good luck with that.
And Cooper, I took the Jets.
Cooper Rush.
So we
Cooper
were both.
Rush, come on down.
Wait a minute. Mike McCarthy has not, he has all of a sudden come out and said, I have not officially named the starter yet.
Hmm. So, okay.
So ridiculous. Mike.
Not
you
so
got,
fast,
you got
my
a,
friend.
You got a guy nobody's heard of behind door number one, and another guy nobody's ever heard of behind door number two. It doesn't matter, man. Who cares? Just name your damn starting quarterback. It's not changing anything.
I care, kind of.
Do you?
No.
Maybe Danny White will run out there. Give him the call.
I'm having the pipe dream of a quarterback wearing number 16 with long hair starting next year.
In Dallas?
Steve Pelure?
That's not happening.
Steve Pelure. No, you're very quick to say that's not happening. And, yeah, right now it's not, but because the Jets haven't won a game. But there's a long way to go.
Don't leave out the Jags. They're in play.
Look,
Jets.
There are a group of teams that have a whole lot of suck going on. So, you know, there's going to be a fight for Trevor Lawrence.
The problem for the Cowboys is you might screw up and win a game against the Giants or another horrendous
Redskins. The FTs.
Put a dollar in the jar.
By the way, it's been a while since we've goofed on that.
I know.
I was going to say that. If we had a jar, I'm not sure there's much in there.
I kind of hope they stay the FTs, if I'm being honest with you. Just be the football team. Which I think they're going to be.
It sounds so soccerish.
I know.
Doesn't it? We're traveling to the nation's capital to take on the FTs, Washington FTs, their new stadium. Guys, there are now, eight, which is the most. Of course, they're playing more games than they ever have. So I wanted to, before we get into this Titans game, I wanted to at least pass this along. And because there may be some things that we need to adjust with silly underdogs, I don't believe any of these games were picked, but let's just make sure. There's now eight games that have been postponed or canceled this week in college football. We knew Purdue, Wisconsin. That was the first one. Then we learned right after we talked to Tim Hasselbeck on Wednesday that Louisville and Virginia, because he was supposed to be in the booth, well, he's supposed to be doing color for that game. That game is not going to happen. Air Force Army is not going to happen. Tulsa Navy is not going to happen. Pac-12 gets cranked up. Cal, Washington, yep, they've already. That's already done.
We saw that was starting to get speculated. That's too bad.
La Tech and North Texas, done. FIU and UTEP, done. And now add UTSA and Rice. I don't think that affected anything we did, right?
No.
Yesterday?
It didn't.
But for purposes of our contest, might want to alert the proper folks.
We will alert them. They will be alerted.
That's now eight games that you cannot pick.
Hit the alarm.
But you know what? We've had a lot less games earlier in the year. And so, like I said, it's the most games we've ever had, too, on the docket. All right, let's get to, by the way, coming up to start the second hour, pretty excited about this, right? We're going to talk to Tom Waddle in Chicago, ESPN 1000. And we'll learn a little bit more about this Bears team that's coming to town, which I think is completely inept on offense. Their offensive line stinks, just like Cincinnati's. They can't run the football. Nick Foles is erratic. He throws picks. But they're really good on defense. So how's this all going to play out? We'll talk to Tom about that. But look, as I say that, you just heard our discussion with Terry McCormick. The Titans have a ton of issues, too, that I don't know if it's going to affect them or not.
Well, I mean, I think for a while, I know at least for me, I looked at it as, yeah, they got some issues, but it's early. They can fix this. They didn't have the regular offseason, didn't have preseason games. They're going through a coordinator change, so it'll take some time. Well, they're halfway through now. So it's now I'm at the point where it's maybe they're not going to get this fixed. Maybe this is what they are. Now, Terry brought up a good point that if you have some guys on defense that aren't doing their jobs, that you have Kevin Byard and others that are having to cover up for that. They're having to do a little extra and do somebody else's job plus their job because it's not getting done. And, you know, a prime example of that, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but Matthias Ekholm, for instance, didn't have as great of a season for the Predators because he was playing next to a rookie. And so he was trying to help Dante Fabbro along and maybe cover up some things that Fabbro just wasn't there yet on, and so it affected him. I think you've seen some of that on the defense with the Titans. Now, are those guys that have struggled, we know one's gone, and then some of the other guys, are they getting that cleaned up? Is that going to help as we move forward here? We're going to find out, because this is a, like last week, this is a great opportunity to build some confidence and to shake some of those cobwebs out that these guys have right now. But they didn't do it last week, so I have to see it before I can say they can do it this week against a pretty bad offense.
That's not even really what I'm talking about. We already know the usual suspects problem. I'm talking about the new list of problems. We have no idea.
Punter and the,
just, you know, like the whole special teams unit.
Right.
You know, that whole thing, which could be, right now.
Which was a problem before.
Well, yeah, but
poor special teams overall before Brett Kern got hurt. Now you're looking at the domino effect of not having Brett Kern, and you're saying, can you have decent special teams in this game?
I mean, we've gone 8 years and never had any concern whatsoever, no problems whatsoever with a long snapper and a punter, right? Or the hold for a kick, never been an issue. Now all of a sudden, Terry doesn't think Kern's going to play. They've got – pick your mat. Is it Overton? Is it Orzug? I don't know. I guess it'll be Overton out there this week.
You hope you don't notice who it is.
Is that really possible?
Well, yeah.
You won't notice?
Well, yeah. If the guy does his job, then you won't notice.
But, I mean, are you banking on – I mean, right now, your gut feeling, do you think – if we had to do – it won't be in pick six, but if we had it in pick six, that there would be a flub in that department, what would you vote for, yes or no?
Honestly, I would vote – I think they'll be okay. I don't think there will be a flub. Now, I'd have to check and see, but it's not like this guy has never – whoever they put in there will have done this in their lifetime. It's not that hard to do if you've done it.
Right. That's the key phrase. It's not that hard to do if you've done it. And
right, but they didn't just take a group of people and say, "See if you can learn how to do this."
No,
right?
I'm agreeing.
People have come to try to they have been qualified for the job. So I feel like this is not some monumental task to be able to make. What would you have in a game? 10 to 12 at the most.
Yeah.
Snaps in one game.
Yeah, because you got.
There's nothing. As long as the weather conditions aren't crazy, right, you should be able to go 12 for 12.
Right. I think my biggest concern in that department is going to be who's punting the football.
I think you're right. I think that's a bigger concern.
Because Brett Kern has been the MVP. I mean, we joke he's the Titans MVP, but he really is, you know, since especially the last few years. I mean, he's an all-pro punter. And I'm not saying they're bringing in some slappy. Because clearly they're not gonna sign somebody that can't do it, but it's not gonna be the same as Kern. So sure, that is gonna be a huge concern. And the holder. I mean, I don't want Tannehill out there. I still have nightmares of Tony Romo against the Seahawks and that whole
I was
thing.
Watching that and Willie was doing post game. Back when he used to do it up in the, I don't know what it was called then, Jack Daniels Club.
Yeah, you know what, though?
It was called.
Darren, that actually was not a game, because I remember where I was. I was not at the arena because that particular game was on another station. It was a handful of games that because of other commitments to the radio station we were working on, we didn't have the game. So I was watching that game elsewhere.
What? I thought we were watching it there in the Jack Daniels Club.
Not the Romo game.
Are you sure?
We watch plenty of games in that club, for sure. But
the Patron
like
Club?
Watching
is that
it,
what it is
It
now?
Was a Saturday night game.
Yeah. I remember I was downtown, but I wasn't at the game.
Huh. I thought I was in there while you were doing postgame and they're watching.
Well, that was, and you know, it's not like Romo got hurt and couldn't finish the game or something. It was a freak thing. But as we see, freak things can happen where a guy does get hurt, and so you would definitely not want to have, if you could help it, Tannehill holding.
Right. But
can he do it, right? That's another thing that, you know, has he been doing it all his life? I would think these long snappers, right, have got experience doing this in college and throughout. It's the same repetition, right? How much has Logan Woodside held before? How much has Tannehill held? If there's a big difference, then you might have to go with Tannehill.
If I were ranking the three spots, which one concerns me the most to the least, the number one that concerns me the most is the long snapper, followed by the punter. The one that concerns
really?
Me the least is the holder.
I would go...
That is the least in my book.
I would go... Well, obviously the punter is first. The kicker is second, right? Because we've got issues with
sure.
the kicker. The holder would be third because that affects the kicker as much as anything. And then I think the long snapper I'm tentatively the most confident in.
The most confident.
Oh, absolutely.
I am not the most confident.
It's the easiest thing to execute, I think.
I tend to agree with Willie on that. I think I'd go long snapper. I'd probably go long snapper, punter, holder, and then kicker.
Ask a Giants fan if they think it's easy just to plug and play a long snapper in the playoffs against the 49ers. Anybody remember that game?
Vaguely.
But that was we were at your house for that game.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd that turn out for the Giants?
About as much of a nightmare as you could have.
Right. And who was
we're
at
talking
the front
about
center
a playoff
of the
game.
Nightmare?
Well, the
long
snapper at the end. Well, there was a lot of things that had to happen for it to come down to the long snapper, but that was a famous game where they had, I think during the week, had rehired an old ex-long snapper who had a flub at the wrong time. You know, the Giants had blown a giant lead.
Yep.
They were way behind. The 49ers with a Jeff Garcia, Terrell Owens comeback in a playoff game. I'd have to go back and look at the year, 2008, 2009, something like that maybe. Or maybe even further back. I don't know.
Before
Darren,
that.
Maybe
I think it was
05.
Before that, yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. Well, what would it have been? 2004? We have to go back and look at this. But the Giants had a chance to recover and kick a field goal at the end after blowing this huge lead, but the guy botched the snap. And then there was one of those Garo-Yeprimian-type scrambles where the guy picks it up, the holder, and just flings it down the field. And the guy catches it for the Giants, right? Remember the desperation pass.
2002.
2002. God, we're getting old. But if I remember correctly, we'll have to look this up on YouTube. But the scramble happens. It's
this.
A bad snap. The Giants holder, whoever it was, grabs the ball, starts running to the right, and just flings it. And the guy almost catches it, and it looked like it was pass interference on the 49ers. And there was huge talk. Is it interference? Was there a legal man downfield? What's going on? And,
right.
of course, it didn't happen for the Giants.
The Giants were up 38-14 in that game.
Jeez. 38-14?
38-14 in a playoff game.
Wow.
And the long snapper was Trey Junkin. And the holder was Matt Allen. Of course, everybody remembers Matt Allen, right?
Sure.
2002.
Okay, I just found the highlights.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's football follies at its best.
Giants fan
Jeff Garcia
would
just
cringe
wow.
at that game.
T.O. would have been on that team, right?
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
2000.
But that is a prime example. Oh, it's the easiest job out there. Yeah, they brought in Trey Junkin. Long snapper in the league.
Okay.
And it was a disaster.
I grant you. So it's a cautionary tale. Anything can happen, but I still tentatively put that on the lowest fear factor, lowest anxiety factor. I'm much more worried about the punter. Although, as you said, they're going to bring in a punter that's an NFL punter. The guys that Terry mentioned, Colquitt, would be one in this state. We know the Colquitt name is associated with punting. So we know he's done it. But still, the value of Kern is so huge, there's going to be a drop-off there. And then Gostkowski will be affected by the snapper and holder, right? So he's the next guy for me. But maybe it can't hurt, right? If he gets any worse, they got to cut him anyway. So this could help Gostkowski having different guys back there. Maybe, in a crazy way. And then who's the holder? Who's the long snapper? That's my
ask Tom Waddle what he thinks.
Good question. We'll ask a pro.
Okay, so here's the three. Long snapper, holder, punter.
So you're not even putting Gostkowski in this equation?
No, we're not just for this conversation.
I mean, he's not going anywhere right now, and he's got
We're pushing that to the side. This is all new stuff on these three. Got a new long snapper, a new holder, and a new punter. So which one would you rank, you know, easiest to toughest, or toughest to easiest?
Okay, so your final ranking is what?
Easiest is holder.
Okay.
Punter is in the middle. Long snapper's the toughest.
Okay.
So that's your level of concern ranking
yes.
as well.
Long snapper, punter, and then the one that I'm the least concerned about is the holder. And Willie, you did what did you say?
I'm most concerned about the punter, second most about the holder, least concerned about the long snapper.
So we're almost opposite.
Yeah, I would go least concern holder, then long snapper, then punter. Most concerned about the punter.
Okay. All right, well, we'll ask Tom Waddle, and we'll learn a little bit more about the opponent for the Titans on Sunday. Tom Waddle, ESPN 1000 in Chicago. We will talk to him to start the second hour. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.